Hi, and welcome to the Language
Lab. A podcast about idioms.
Wow. So, how's it?
I'm Ingrid. I'm Casey.
I love that my voice is deeper than yours.
How are you today, Casey?
I'm great, Ingrid. Thanks.
Cool. So now all that's
out of the way. Let's dive right in.
Just kidding.
Whose voice was that supposed to be?
I don't know. Mickey Mouse. Okay. Huh? Hiya, pals. Here's a podcast about idioms.
Okay.
We're doing great.
We're doing great today, guys.
Not a full day of meetings.
I haven't been editing a very strange book for 10 hours in a row here. Mm-hmm. Hopping off, talking to people for the first time. It's great, good times.
Oh, this is my 10th Zoom meeting today.
Oh, sorry, I can let you
I've go. Wanted to do all of those things on every other one of the Zoom meetings, but this is the only one that's like reasonably acceptable.
You guys should have seen Casey before we got on was trying to do different backgrounds, and he did a bunch of different lipstick colors.
I had some beard options.
Mm-hmm. They were all disturbing.
Eyebrows. Mm-hmm. I had some very old man eyebrows.
Yes. So, I have some follow-up, Casey. This is cool. A podcast about idioms, guys, in case Mickey Mouse voice didn't set in for you. Some follow-up from an episode that will now be a few episodes ago for you guys listening, but the one we just put out was Get Your Goat. Go back and listen. It was a fun one. Casey was desperate to know if they actually put goats in with horses to calm them. And I said I would consult with my best friend. And without me prompting her, she...
What did Rhett say?
So she listened to the episode and just out of the blue sends me this article today. And I kind of forgot that I said I would consult with her. She sent me this lovely article about horse companions. And animals that they put, equestrian companions that they put in to calm horses. Hey, Rat, how's it going?
Did she just call you or text you? Where did that come from?
No.
What? Is she on this call?
Yes, she's actually feeding me information from the other room. So one of the first pictures is a horse and a goat walking along the shore together.
Okay.
It's so sweet.
Rhett, thank you for the information, but I think we'll take it from here.
So in this article, they say other equines aren't the only possible companions for horses, although donkeys, mini horses, and ponies are quite common. You can find horses being comforted by all sorts of species, including dogs, cats, cows, sheep, goats, and camelids like alpacas and llamas. Show Jumper Coaster is the name of his horse. He has been buddies with Buttercup, a goat, for the last 6 years. They say Coaster was a pretty nervous horse and would stall weave. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
One of the grooms, Fernando, thought he would benefit from a companion and went down to the meat market and rescued Buttercup. And then they have a picture of Buttercup and Coaster together. And they have these animals apparently have their own Instagram fan club.
Ah, got it. Okay, so why do they need... They're just nervous?
If you have a nervous horse, apparently it's kind of common. So they'll have a companion animal.
Got it.
And I'll try to put this picture somewhere, but it's the horse laying down in a stall with the goat with its feet draped over it. It's very cute.
Okay.
So apparently that's a real thing.
Cool.
I don't think anyone should go steal that goat to upset that horse, so...
Okay.
As said in
odd thing to say.
I really want a goat. Just kidding. Do you have any follow up, Casey?
I do not. But all my follow up is that I'm super excited about this idiom that you've prepared for us.
Oh, this is par for the course. Do you know what par for the course means, Casey?
It is something to be expected. That's as far as I'm going to go.
Okay.
Because I don't know much more than that.
Okay, yeah. Merriam-Webster says that this is being of the type of thing that is encountered in the normal course of events. So you're exactly
basically
correct.
Exactly what I said.
Exactly what you said. I'm just kidding. You are basically Merriam-Webster.
Merriam-Webster did a much better job, but thank you.
An idiom, but a slightly different meaning can be found different in other places. Idioms.thefree dictionary says that's normal, typical, or to be expected, especially when something is a source of annoyance or frustration.
Mm-hmm. That's how I have mostly encountered it.
It's not how I normally think about it. I just think of it as like this, oh, this is a regular occurrence, but
it's like a regular occurrence with Sally.
Who is this Sally?
I don't know.
Just we don't like her?
A Karen.
Oh, I know. I thought you were going to go with a Karen.
I should have. I've just been trying to change up names.
And, you know, I feel like we're getting real down on Karen.
I know.
I don't know a lot of Karen, so.
I knew one. She, like, worked with my mom years ago, and she was very, very sweet. Very nice lady. I don't know what she is like now, so who knows, but.
I have an indirect cousin named Karen. And she's a very okay. lovely person.
Of course you're doing.
Examples of this are also from Idioms at the Free Dictionary. Of course we're not getting raises again this year. That's just par for the course at this point.
Mm-hmm. You tell them.
Yeah.
You know?
Tell the man.
You could riot.
Yes, or go on strike, or form a union. So they say par for the course is typical about what you could expect. So he went off and left you? Well, that's about par for the course. He's no friend. And it's really dark.
Yikes. See, they're all kind of crappy. Yeah,
it's true.
But this is also from the Free Dictionary.
Yeah.
Idioms at the Free Dictionary. So it's all from the same source as that, like, pejorative definition.
And you know that I go to them because I love the ones that are a little bit saucier.
Saucy.
So they a lot of places also list up to par. We kind of get a bonus idiom with this.
Oh.
Up to par will mean as good as the standard or average, up to standard. I'm not feeling up to par today. I must be coming down with something. The manager said the report was not up to par and gave it back to Mary to do over again. Poor Mary.
Mary's just trying to make some money.
I know. And, you know, if the manager didn't like the report, he should have redone it himself.
No, that's not how that goes. No.
I used to have a manager at this one restaurant who, when you get done, so for those of you who haven't worked at a restaurant, at the end of your shift, you have to do a checkout. And so your manager checks everything that you've done, cleaning up your tables, all this stuff. And this manager would not tell you what you had done wrong, but she would just say that it was wrong. And you had to just go and kind of guess. Which was one of the most frustrating things.
So, also, like, okay, I'm not in kindergarten. I have a real life, and I would like to get to it.
Yes. I would like to not move these salt
You just
stickers.
Paid me $2 an hour for the last 10 hours. Mm-hmm. You do it.
Or tell me what to do. So that's what I'm feeling for Mary right now. I just hope that the manager was like, look, this is what's wrong with this report, Mary. One more example is the grammarist. Lists this as an example. Over the top looks are par for the course, but no one saw coming was a wearable model of Kardashian's famous behind. That's from Forbes magazine.
I don't know what any of that. I know about three of those words in there. Is this the Met Gala they're talking about?
I think it's probably the Met Gala that they're talking about.
Wow.
Good.
Cool.
Nice. Isolating that by context, Casey. So, do you know, have any idea where this comes from, Casey?
Well, I think it's a golf term. And I think that, so each hole has its own par, but 9 or 18 holes make up a course. Mm-hmm. So to me, it seems like it's the overall par rating for an entire course, which I don't know if that exists.
I feel like you just knew a lot more about golf than I thought you would, which I'm
all
very
of this is
by.
Based on mini golf. I've never been golfing, but if there are any sugar daddies out there that want to take a nice 25-year-old idiom fan named Casey, I had to come up with an appropriate age, and that was very hard. I was like, 29? No, that's too old. 22? That's too young.
You are definitely a 25-year-old idiom fan. Okay. We're all going to go with that. I'm sorry.
All right, so tell me what it is. Stop laughing at my age.
No, you You knew a lot more. So par is, there's a set par for every hole. There, people actually like spell this out for us, but I'll skip to that. This is from knowyourphrase.com. The phrase is believed to originate from golf. In golf, the term par is common. It means that each individual hole, or in some cases the entire course, there's a par for the course, has a set number of strokes an experienced golfer is expected to take in order to finish it. For example, if you are at a par 5 hole at a golf course, it means that it should take a total of 5 swings to finish. Of course, whether a person can do that or not is dependent on their skill level. If someone completes the par 5 hole in 5 swings, then they scored a par. In other words, they completed it using a normal amount of strokes. Basically, a par is considered to
be... And if they're under par... but so if something is subpar... Usually, am I taking away your...
You are, but I'm excited
Go. It doesn't make sense because subpar for golf seems like a good thing. You did it in 3 strokes instead of 5. Subpar's, like Mary's subpar report, is that it's not good enough. And so there's like opposition on that.
So this... is you're making me jump around, which never works out well for me. I'm going to do it. We're going to be spontaneous. We can be spontaneous, Casey. We're not rigid people, right? Despite the fact that we spend an hour and a half each week talking about language. So on Stack Exchange, one of the people, they were discussing this, and this woman named Juliana Sousa comes on and says that she has a small correction, that the expression doesn't originate from golf. It is a loan word from Latin that the usage in English, the English language predates the golf by 3 centuries. Par means equal. So in most of the Latin languages, and also Dutch, is used to symbolize 2 equal things, a pair. So that means...
a pair. Since
subpar and on par are fairly common, they someone else asks that since a golf term, shouldn't subpar be good? This Juliana person pipes back in and says that's because the expression doesn't originate from golf. It originates from Latin. Subpar means less than equal, so it is bad.
Got it.
But under par in golf is good.
Is good.
Yes.
Interesting. I like the par pair thing. I did not put those together. I didn't put that they were equal.
You didn't pair them?
No. I didn't par them.
Let's confuse everyone.
Yeah, everyone's like, stop listening.
So, yeah, that you had the question that a lot of people had about this. Like, subpar in golf would be good, but it actually goes back to the Latin.
So then course, though, where does... Because course is pretty similar
to... Course is...
I mean, course could be many things, but a course of action, for instance, doesn't necessarily relate to golf.
Right. When you're saying par for the course, it is directly a golf term.
Got it.
But we're borrowing that original par, and golf borrows this original par from Latin.
Got it.
Yeah, so that it's a grammarist says that many of the same things. They say it's most often used when one is annoyed. For instance, if one's child falls sick the day the family is supposed to leave on vacation, it may be considered par for the course.
Okay, as a child that fell sick on the day we were supposed to leave for Maine, I don't want to hear about it. I'd be in a car for 14 hours with a fever of over 100 and something.
Oh, my goodness.
So don't par for the course me. Mom.
Your parents were like, par for the course. This child is sick. Get in the car, Casey. I'm sorry, Casey.
It's okay. Also, we went to Disney World when I was 12, and I got sick that day, too. And I was sick for every day except for the last day.
Do you want me to take you to Disney World?
No, I never want to go there again.
That can be our Patreon for the week. Hey, I want to take Casey to Disney World.
No, please don't.
Okay. So they say the thing about golf, and they say that it came into general usage around 1950 and has climbed in popularity ever since. So that's kind of it about the idiom. It originates in golf, but then we have this wonderful Latin thing. Also, I really wanted to do this idiom because I just wanted to talk about the terms for golf scores. Because I grew up in a golfing family, but I'm not a golfer per se. And I am an excellent miniature golfer, if you'd like to.
Oh, cool.
Go. If you'd like to have a rumble one day. But my son is learning golf. And so now I'm learning all these terms. Do you know any of the other terms for
birdie?
Birdie. Do you know what a birdie is?
Is it when you hit it off of the course?
No.
Okay, I don't know. Then I don't know.
A birdie is completing the hole in one less stroke than par.
Okay.
A bogey is completing the hole in one more stroke than par. A double bogey.
Two more. Double birdie.
There wasn't a double birdie. An eagle. Okay. An eagle is what I think double birdie would be. An eagle is completing the hole in two fewer strokes than par.
Got it.
And a hole in one. I loved this. We all know what that is. A moment a golfer nor their bar tab will ever forget. Note, any golfer achieving this feat is expected to buy all patrons of the 19th hole a drink upon finishing the round.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which seems like a punishment for something that you did really well.
Yeah. No, it's a celebration at your expense. It's like a wedding. But 19th hole, aren't there 18?
Yes. The 19th hole, I think, is
the bar.
Yes, exactly. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's different. That's a whole lot of people.
It's a whole lot of people.
In my head, it was like the people at the 18th hole.
Yeah, you're foursome. You're,
sure.
No, you're buying the bar around. So don't make a hole in one. Is my advice to you guys.
Cool.
In life. So on Google's Ingram, one last thing. This is also from Know Your Phrase. They say the earliest they can find the phrase in print outside of the context of golf and in a figurative way was in the Princeton Alumni Weekly in May 1932. The phrase is, whatever is to be done in Washington would be better done quickly. If the industry and business knew the par for the course, people would be disposed to go ahead. Other than that reference, everything I found on Ingram was, this starts in the 1950s.
Ingrid, not to interrupt you, but Ingram is my tool.
Oh.
You don't get to use that one. Sorry, that's just me.
There's a whole section of the internet. I really thought you were about to tell me that, like, my microphone had stopped working.
No.
Okay. I'll never use Ingram again.
Okay. You can use it this once, though.
Thanks for the pass. Can you write me a note, Casey? So it really starts in the 50s, but then kind of gradually goes up, and it really spikes after 2000. So it's much more used in popular last 20 years.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. I wonder I'd like to see a chart. I would like to see the usage of that term charted against the popularity of golf.
Well, golf has been around for ages.
I know, but like it's got to wane in popularity at some point.
Golf?
Right?
I guess there have
always been rich white men.
Yes.
And also, that's not to say that only rich white men can play golf.
No,
but
not at all. All kinds. My sister's an excellent golfer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all over the world at this point. What was one thing I kept running into with this idiom is that I was kind of like, do I even do this one? Because a lot of places were like, golf is played everywhere now. So most people would know this term in some context. But I figured that was kind of overselling it a little bit. I don't know that I would necessarily know this had I not grown up in the family I grew up
in. Yeah.
What par was. All right, so sending you something over here, Casey.
No, I can't wait.
You may read this however you would like.
It's par for the course. You bet the wrong horse. You put down the phone and cried for yourself and for what you could have had, a plea that won't do now that she serves it to you. And I don't even know you. I don't even know you anymore. I don't even know you.
Thank you, Casey. That was excellent.
Thanks. That's my favorite part.
It's my favorite part, too.
Should I have been a slam poet?
I think there's still opportunities, Casey.
I am a 25-year-old.
Soon to be golfer.
Yeah.
Let's go find a club, Casey. Let's get off and we go and find somewhere to read poetry out loud.
Cool.
Okay. That is by Amy Mann, her song Par for the Course.
So that probably did it.
You did it pretty spot on for Amy Mann. Yeah, there you go, guys. That's Par for the Course.
Cool. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I have an international idiom.
I'm so excited. You keep finding these. I'm really impressed with you.
Thank you. I'm going to send you something.
Oh, good. I love it when this happens. See, I'm okay with the out loud readings of songs, but when you send me weird international... Okay.
It's French.
Avaler de couleuvre.
Which means...
Couleuvre. Yeah.
To swallow grass snakes.
Mm-mm.
And what the...
I don't like that.
It means to be so insulted that you are not able to reply.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Swallow grass snakes. Avaler de couleuvre.
So next time someone insults you so much that you can't even speak.
I've swallowed some grass snakes. It sounds very painful.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be avoiding that. All right. So in our segment that we still don't have a name for.
I think that's the name.
The segment we don't have a name for. Things we shouldn't say anymore. This is from Best Life Online. We've done one of these from their article before. I was fascinated by this. Fuzzy Wuzzy, which I don't say often.
But Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. And then they say dot, dot, dot. But before that, he wasn't so innocent. In the 1800s, British colonial soldiers referred to the people of East African nomadic tribe as Fuzzy Wuzzies due to their dark skin and curly hair. The term was later picked up by other military groups to refer to other indigenous populations in places like Papua New Guinea and Sudan.
Oh, no. Who did this? The British?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, God. And when did you say?
Mm-hmm. 1800s.
Oh, my God. Sorry. I was shocked.
Yeah. You were too shocked.
I was shocked to listen to the details of it. Like, oh, my God. That's so messed up.
I know. Yeah. I was shocked to have Fuzzy Wuzzy taken away from me. But I'm not going to say that anymore. I mean... Again, I didn't in the first place, but it's kind of like a fond childhood memory of mine. And I'm sure that I said it to my son when he was really little. I'd say, Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
What is that from?
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't Fuzzy Wuzzy Wuzzy. I don't know.
Hmm.
I think children just say it. I don't know. Okay. And we're not going to do it anymore.
Cool.
All right. So are you quizzing me or am I quizzing you?
It's up to you.
Go ahead and give me one more.
Okay.
I'll quiz you next week. We had a long run of me constantly harassing you.
All right. So this is from Idiomatict, the board game from the Good Game Company. This is synonyms for idioms, and Ingrid is going to be tested.
All right. And I feel like I was horrible last week, so.
Well, let's see how you do. Only outer body covering as well as skeletal pieces.
Skin and bones.
Just skin and bones, yeah. Great job.
Thank you.
Made sightless due to the luminosity.
Blinded by the light.
See, these are easy, right?
They
always
were
like,
not last week.
That's so crazy how you do that, but they're pretty easy. Similar to a large, angry male cow in a ceramic dishware store.
Like a bull in a china shop.
You got it. You're so good at these.
All right. Thanks.
You're so
except
smart.
Except when I start out by saying I'm going to be good at them, and then I fail miserably.
Well.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We are going to, in a minute, get off this call and stay on this call, start another recording we've been doing a Language Lie After Dark for our Patreon page, which is our record something that's a little racier. So if you want to get access to those, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/thelanguagelie. And if you'd like to email us with an idiom suggestion or on all kinds of other things, email. It's fun. thelanguagelie@gmail.com.
You can also slide into our DMs at thelanguagelie, all one word, on Instagram. Make sure to like, follow, subscribe, comment, rate, whatever else you can do, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yay.
And that's all.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.